Good morning to each one. I greet you all in Jesus' name. It's good to be here with you all again this morning. It's been a while, and I was expecting to see a smaller group, but it's good to see the house so well filled. As I was thinking about the activities of the week, this one wasn't really on my mind, and I'm on the way to pick up my daughter, which is west of here. She's helping a niece that had a little one. And my wife said, well, maybe she should stop at Ridgeview because she knew I had to come here later on this summer. I was like, eh. And then I talked to another brother in the church and he goes, I think you should. And then I had to make a call to Kirby. So I thought I was just rolling with the punches, you might say, doing what needs done, but I'm glad to be here this morning. And looking forward to looking into God's Word more. I appreciate the service thus far, the devotional meditation. There's different words that kept coming to me as he was speaking, and also as Brother Steve had his devotions as well. The thought of unity and oneness, and in the devotion, I believe he talked about our homes, what kind of atmosphere we have, or what the parents were like of the ones who stood up against Moses and brought that false report. And that went with the assignment that was assigned to me recently on bonding hearts and family communication. And this is a subject that is dear to me. It's something that needs to be personal to each of our homes. We got to think of what are we communicating to our children, the next generation? Are we knitting? Are we teaching things that will carry them through? And we all, I think every one of us, communicated something this morning. And we so often communicate things that don't really seem to matter, we think, but they are big things. We're concerned about our looks. We're concerned about our taste. We're concerned about what other people think. But are we concerned about the Christian values that will last, that will help them, enable them? And I was blessed with all the little children that were here, and I appreciated Brother Steve's prayer praying for the children. This past week, I heard a testimony of a local family right there in our community. They were talking about church life, and he said there's, I think, a handful of old people there. And he don't think the future of the church looks too much like it's going to last much longer. He goes, till we pay the electrical bill and the heating bill and try to afford a pastor. He said, we can't do it. Five old couples trying to enjoy church. Then you see all these little ones here. Such a blessing. And it all has to do with how we teach, how we proclaim the truth. Are we sticking with truth? Are we building our lives or homes off of the truth of God's word? Because we know the result of this. It don't only last for the next 20 years. Our lives have been modeled and patterned after someone. The faithfulness of teachers and preachers and parents who have walked with us. And may that be our desire, to teach the same thing to the next generation. This happens, like I said, little by little. We don't need to go far out these doors into the community, to the world around us, to see all kinds of confusion and hatred that's out there. But this is so often, this is a cause of or result of broken homes, abusive homes, single parent homes, and some dysfunctional homes. These communicated something. These had a way of portraying some kind of message to this group of people that seems like the world's falling apart on. But regardless of that, what are we communicating? Because I am communicating something whether I try to or not. We have many opportunities to communicate. I enjoyed the drive I had out through here because it, what is it? I forget the hours. But I didn't talk to that person for a while. And, oh, I forgot to call that person. And maybe you don't have that problem. But you think of things and we have these ways and avenues of communicating. And then there's children calling, where are you at, Dad? What are you doing? Are you staying awake? You know, we communicate on so many levels. But as we communicate, no matter who we're communicating with, how much bonding is happening? Is it because we're communicating because of a close tie, a close connection? Is my communicating building on Christian values? Are there traits of transparency, kindness, and compassion evident and felt in my everyday communication? This ain't only communicated in words, but is also communicated in our expression, our body language. We're familiar with home life. Much gets communicated just by a motion of a finger. Children understand normally what this means. Or if you're, as a dad, you might be on the recliner and your children are talking to you, your expression, they know if they have your interest or not. We're communicating. And we also communicate things that mean a lot to us. We communicate our goals, our dreams, our desires. But are we communicating with them that are closest to us in our homes? Or am I looking to something out there, something, another group of people that I share those things with? If we are, the bonding ain't going to happen in our homes. We, like I said, we communicate so much almost unbeknownst to us. And if you have children, or maybe I'm going to express myself here a little, it's easy to go through the activities of life and don't think they mean much. But recently I had my one little son with me, and I had an experience while traveling, and I spoke to the car in front of me. I didn't really mean what I said, but I spoke. A little while later, the little boy's brother crossed his path, and he spoke to the little brother, the other brother. Mom overheard it. She corrected the boy. And the little boy goes, Dad said it. I communicated. The little boy had to sort between what was right and what wasn't right at that moment. It wasn't shame on him, because the correction changed after Mom realized this ain't the little boy's problem. So we need to be very careful what's in here, because it will come out. And our little ones suck it up like a sponge. Because if Dad does it, it's all right. Or I take it as well as this side. If Mom does it, it must be all right. These little things do matter. Because we are shaping little lives that will impact the next generation. And we think of how, as I thought of this subject on bonding communication in our home, we think of how our home started. Everything we do almost starts small. How did your home start? This side looked over at this side, and they seen a young lady. I'm going to mainly talk to you because I think like you all do. And you had that desire and that craving to be with her. You admired her personalities, a little bit like the Sunday school teacher said, you know, you see all the good, and the negative traits weren't as big as they thought they were, or as they played on. And you spent your precious time, the resources you had, to have this relationship. And that was good and right. It's a God-given thing to have a relationship like that. And then you got married. And our homes were, a home was established. Two people with lots of goals, dreams. And it don't take long to realize that we are both human. You give it 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. A few unmet expectations. Some disappointments. A few poor choices. Unexpected changes. More responsibility. Children. This is life. And it happens so fast. But it's in these times, as we're experiencing so many of these things that seem negative to our life, our personal preferences, it's what gets communicated at these times that have long-lasting effects on the next generation. And these times can be bonding times, when hearts are drawn together, or they can be destructive. So I believe that's why this topic is so important. In bonding hearts and family communication, thinking of our homes again, are my communicative skills just as passionate as they were the day I got married, the first year of our marriage? Are they still as passionate? We all know that we just came through a holiday, but last Sunday was called Valentine's Day. And lots of money and drama goes into that day. There's a lot of commitments made. It's going to be better. But what about the 364 other days of the year? These are the things that matter. I'm not saying it's wrong to have the reminder and do the nice things on those days. But what about the rest of the year, the rest of your life? How are my communicative efforts? Does she know we love her just as much these other days as on February 14th? Do our children see the same expressions the other days as well? You may have come from a good home, a good strong home, where they had good communication. But that's not a guarantee that your home will be the same. Circumstances will be different. Or maybe just because you came from a home that had less than ideal communication, doesn't mean that your home will be the same. These both take work regardless of who we are or where we're at. Our communicative skills is my responsibility. How good can I communicate? It is my personal choice and my personal responsibility to have good communication in my home. And it's the same for you. So often we like to put it on someone else's shoulders. Well, if you do, then I can do it. That's not the way we read our Bible. It's I apply it and let God do the rest of the work. We have a responsibility to do, and we need to take it personal. And most of us, like, were just like many of these little ones that went to these front Sunday school rooms. We were taught little, from little on up, little by little, scriptural truths that affected our life. And little children see through their parents so clear. They can compare what the Sunday school teacher said to how dad's living, to how mom's living. They know the truth, how we are supposed to respond as Christians. But do they see dad responding that way? Or when they challenge us, do we shut them down? These are the tests that come our way at times. We're just in this Sunday school quarter. We just came through the book of Ephesians, and there's many practical teaching on how a Christian ought to live. And there was also husband and wife relationships there, and children and parent relationships. And I trust you had an enjoyable time looking into that Sunday school lesson and comparing my life, your life, with what was wrote in those verses. But I believe all these teachings first begin in our homes. I believe that's where the rubber meets the road. To you dads and moms, how am I allowing the obstacles of life to affect me? Am I allowing them to shape me into more what God wants me to be? Or am I becoming defensive? Or are my actions portraying that I'm a child of God, like the book of Ephesians, and now we're going into Philippians. And as we think of these communicative skills in our homes, it's easy to put a good front on to those who, let's say here at church, it's easy to put a good front on to those people you only meet a few times a month. That nice personality, saying the right things. But how is it in our homes? Have you ever thought you didn't have time for a child, to talk to a child? I guess this is probably, I'm reflecting myself again. You think you're busy, there's lots to do. But then someone calls and you talk for 10, 15 minutes. What do you just tell your child? I'm not saying all these phone calls are wrong. But if this is repeated over and over again to our children, we are telling them that there's something more important. There's something else out there that I need to do. And this is not bonding communication to our little ones. And as I thought of this subject, my mind ran to Philippians 2. You can turn in your Bibles. I'd like to read four verses. And this is where my mind went to as I thought of these verses, or of this subject. These verses communicate a lifestyle of a commitment to each other. And first in our homes, and then I believe in the church. It's a platform that we build off of. When you think of a lifestyle, it's something that is every day. It's something that's counted on. It don't have a timeline. There aren't conditions. If you do this, then I can do this. This is regardless. Let's read Philippians 2, 1 through 4. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill you my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. When I think of bonding communication in our homes, this is what you see: meekness, you see humility, you see unselfishness. This is what pulls children to their parents. We're so familiar with the opposite. We have this old thing called the carnal nature right here. We're so familiar with what the world likes to communicate to us. The world says, you're going to be somebody. We have all kinds of advertisements of how to better yourself. I was coming out through here, seeing all the billboards that are advertising, be somebody. It's your right. You need to enjoy life. That's the world saying that in our carnal nature. Another one is just do it. No one needs to know. Another one is they'll get over it. Just give them some space. And our own carnal nature says, it's mine, I worked for it. If any of these four statements are in my heart, It will destroy the bonding that we're trying to attain in our homes. These attitudes, these four little attitudes that we just looked at there, are in contrast to the verses we just read. These verses, was your heart warmed as you read that? Was there a little bit of conviction as you read over that? I know as I looked into this verse, these verses, as I studied for this, we see our humanity. We see our where we need to grow in, or where I need to grow in. But bonding hearts, humility. And like we said earlier in the service here, we heard of unity and love. Things that every child craves. This world is cold. This world is ruthless. People are out for themselves. But these four verses turn that all around. Is that felt in our homes this morning? That bonding, is that what's coming from my life? I like there in verse, I like to look at three words in verse 2. What I like to think of, it talks about like-mindedness. How like-minded are you, am I, in our homes? Thinking of our thoughts. We know how the saying goes, thoughts lead to actions. Because what I roll around in here eventually comes out. Husband and wife, are y'all like-minded? Are you pulling towards the same goal? Is your desire to raise a family for God? Are you tempted to be unified in your thoughts when you're together? Not diversified in front of the children, expressing disunity in your thoughts around the children. When we have this like-mindedness, it's a warm place where people can share their thoughts and not be picked apart. People can be themselves. When we apply these verses to first of all to ourselves, that in like-mindedness we can share. Because thoughts lead to actions and to our children. And then it also says about in the same, being of the same love, in interests. What kind of interests do you have as a dad? Do they have the support of your wife? And vice versa. Wives, what are your interests? Are you sharing your thoughts? Are we sharing our thoughts together and unified in those areas? If we are, it begins to bond. It continues to grow like we started our homes with. We had the same interest, the same love. As I thought of that, my mind went to thinking of being of the same love. I thought of Naomi and Ruth there, back in Ruth chapter 1, 16 and 17. How did Ruth get to the point that she valued what Naomi had? I always loved those verses. Ruth 1, 16 and 17. Apparently, Naomi lived a life that was transparent. Apparently, she knew what she believed in her heart and was committed to remain faithful to God. Even though life seemed to be bitterly hard. And as Ruth looked at her life and admired it, she made a commitment to her. In Ruth 1, 16, these are the words that she said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Here we see a bonding relationship of two ladies who had grief in their life. They had hard times in their life. But as the older one had a mind, as she expressed her care, her love, it drew another hurting person. And she ministered, I believe, to her needs, Ruth's needs. Is that what's in our home? The same love. Having that desire to portray the truth that goes out. And from that, I believe it affected her purpose in life. And that's in verse 2, it talks about being one accord. Having aims and purposes in life in our homes. What is your goal? Are we as parents unified in raising the next generation on Christian principles? Or is there some unselfish goals that we're trying, or is there a selfish goal that I'm trying to attain as well? We live in a world that, or a culture, that puts a lot of emphasis on what other people think. And there's easy means that I can, or affordable means, that I can reflect my own carnality, but yet justify. If I do this, the next generation pays the price. So, Dad, where do you want to be in 20 years? Are your children helping you get and fulfill your dreams? Or are we ministering to their needs and helping them, giving them the platform to build off of God's word? So what's coming from my life? What's coming from your life? Is it the humility that we see here in these verses? Is it the transparency that the Bible teaches? Or do I have that attitude that no one needs to know? Do I have meekness? Is there kindness in my home? And these things can be kindness. I shouldn't say it on this side, but I should look at this. Is kindness ever evident in my heart? When the things, you had a hard day at work, you come home, your wife tells this little boy did X, Y, and Z, that's your responsibility. Can we be kind? Or do we say, don't get over it? We need to walk carefully in meekness with our families in order to portray the verses we just looked at in Philippians. With unselfishness, when you think of an unselfish person, we think of someone who's compassionate, caring. And I know this nature probably rests on this side of the house a little stronger than this side. That caring of compassion. And as we express this in our homes, we're communicating what God wants us to be. Like we said, are we building on Christian values? Or are we building with what the world wants us to do, holds out in front of us? The world is not transparent. The world is not kind. The world is not compassionate. We can just go up and down the streets here. I'm sure it's the same as back our way. There's many bands and bonds and troubles that are there. But God help us that it's not in our homes. We made a commitment, a vow, when we got married, what we will stand for, what we will do. How are we doing? Are we remembering, like Solomon, the wisest man who wrote the few books of the Bible there? He told us to look back. He knew he was experiencing things in life that weren't for his betterment, but he remembered. How are we doing in our relationships? Are we remembering the commitment we made the day we stood before the congregation? How is that being expressed today? like I said, this comes out in word, in actions. This past year, have your children pulled closer to you? Have your children pulled closer to me? Or are they distancing themselves? My children know that when Dad stops talking or when he gets quiet, something's bothering him. And a lot of times they don't know everything that bothers Dad. And that's all right. But that puts pressure on them as well. If they know Dad, it might be work-related, might be church-related. I'm sure you're human here as we are in there. But in those moments, we have opportunities to put that verse to practice. We have opportunities to walk with them. They don't need to know all the details. But can they see that we're trying to faithfully follow the Lord? If we can do that, we will knit with them. We will bond with them. We will walk with them. Like it says there in the verses we read there in Philippians. If that's the desire of my heart, to be connected, to be joined together with our families in communication. When I think of bonding hearts, our children, we love to tinker with wood. We don't get a lot done, but we have a lot of fun in working a little wood shop, a little woodshed. This past year, we made a few cutting boards. And as I thought of bonding communication, I thought of this, the illustration of putting a cutting board together. We use different hardwoods. We have a fella he builds custom wooden doors close to our place. So he uses all kinds of different hardwoods. So I go over there and scrounge through his scrap box, and we pull this little piece of this out and that. And you pull a piece of mahogany or maple. The piece by itself looks beautiful, but it looks like a piece of wood. It's not much character by itself. And that's how our lives are. By ourselves, we aren't that much. In our homes. Or do you think you're somebody? But as we make a cutting board, first of all, we run it through the table saw. We often make pieces about 2 inches wide, inch and a half, or smaller. And as you rip them through the table saw, from a distance they're relatively straight. And you think they should be able to put them together and look good. But as you take the strips, let's say mahogany and maple and walnut, as you take them strips, after you pull them off the table saw, you put them together, you see all the chatter marks. You see all the little chafed edges that need some attention. But isn't that how our homes are like so often? Dad has a couple chatter marks. Mom has a few, whatever, chatter marks. But after the table saw, we run them through. I don't have a joiner, so we use a planer. So we try to make the edges on those boards perfectly smooth, equal. That there's no round edges. So we run them through the planer, and then we lay them out again. Okay, you don't see too many chatter marks. Sometimes when you run them into the planer, they get a little, right when the planer hits them, the board flexes a little bit. You get the little bit of a dip in the wood. So we rerun them. But we lay them out again, and then we glue them. Everything looks good. Everything looks fine. So we lay them out on edge, glue the edges, and then we clamp them together as tight as we can to make sure there's no voids, no divots, whatever it is. And we squeeze them as tight as we can. And then we let it dry. And after it dries, we pull the clamps apart. We run them through the planer again to get rid of all the glue. But you know what? Sometimes we see the little, right here's a little gap. But we as humans are a lot the same. We all come with our rough edges. We need to be stripped of ourselves. We need to apply the glue of God's word into our life. We need to blend together in our homes. A strip of wood by itself don't look as nice until you put other varieties with it. Our homes come with many different varieties. We have different personalities. We have 5 children, and they're all different. Mom and dad are different. But as we blend together, as we purpose in our heart not to focus on the chatter marks of others, but concerned about the blemishes in my own life and working on them, walking with our children, helping them to overcome their marks they have. They all come with them. You're aware of that. Each child comes with its own package. But we as parents, if our relationship is strong and we're united and we have a common goal and we're communicating that message clearly to our children, we will have that bonding relationship. And after we come through the clamping experiences of life, where we're pressed together, the glue isn't evident anymore. The Word of God is through us. If you take a cutting board and you glue it together, you will not break that glue joint. The wood will split beside the glue joint before the glue lets loose. And that's how our homes need to be. God's Word needs to be rooted or pressed into our life. It will hold. It won't let us down. It won't break apart. Isn't that the homes we're trying to build? Isn't that our desire? Our heart's desire is to have beautiful homes. And those cutting boards with the variety of lumber we use, they not exalt. To make the other look more beautiful. I can't think of the word I want. Enhance the beauty of the other one, the one beside it. Is that what our homes are? Are we enhancing the beauty of our spouse and our children? But it's so easy. My children say I'm too picky when it comes to making cutting boards. Because after I get it, you know, you look at it, you turn it this way towards the light. You see a little, there's a sanding mark that we didn't get right. And then you might find a little bit of glue in one joint that wasn't quite right. And they said, Dad, you're too picky. No one's going to see it. Yeah. But you know what? In our home lives, how often do we know where the glue joint ain't quite right? Or where there's a little chatter mark and we keep running our fingernail through that thing. We're driving relationships apart. We're tearing homes apart. If we focus on the chatter marks. If we focus on the rough edges, let's build strong homes. Let's be like Caleb and Josh and say, we can do it with the help of God and His Word. We can make strong homes that affect the next generation, that they too will be proclaim the message and the truth that were taught to them as a child. Is that the kind of home you're building? I trust it is. And God bless you with wisdom and strength to continue to build off of these 4 verses and not have limits, not have a timeline. Make it a lifestyle, because the next generation needs that to remain faithful. Let's kneel for prayer.